that we not only sing or hear this, but know that it is so. The Lord said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we believe that. We believe that when the time is fulfilled and the day of salvation comes to an end, that the Lord will return to take to himself all those who have loved his appearing, who have expected him to return, who have carried this living hope within themselves. We have waited a long time. We indeed expect the Lord's return in our generation. The signs of the times clearly indicate this, and we must be attentive and keep our eyes open to see how God's word is being fulfilled before our very eyes. We sincerely and honestly welcome everyone in the name of the Lord. Feel at home among us, and may God truly bless us all together. Bless us in a tangible, visible way, so that we are not just saying it, but so that it can be seen that we have experienced God. I said it here recently. Every time the Lord did something, people praised him for it. They experienced it personally in their bodies, souls, and spirits. We must experience God. There is no other way. We must experience God, and he can be experienced. The time we all have left is not very long. I truly believe that the coming of the Lord is very near. Of course, we have better opportunities in this country than in countries in the East when it comes to proclaiming and spreading the word to other countries. But you can serve the Lord anywhere. And the more external pressure there is, the more intimate your connection with God can be. External pressure does not have to be an obstacle. On the contrary, it can be for the good. Nevertheless, we are grateful to the Lord that we still have freedom and can preach the word as it is written. These times may change soon. During my last visit to the Philippines, I heard and was told how the Roman Catholic bishop warns against all sects every Sunday morning in his devotions, telling the people not to go there. News keeps coming in from African countries that freedom of assembly is becoming increasingly restricted. I have received some papers from Ghana where laws are being made that all long-existing churches, even if they have existed for 100 years, must re-register and so on. Freedom will not last long. Therefore, let us use the time God has given us to proclaim the real truth, unadulterated, and carry it to the whole world. When the singers sang the second song about the glory of the hereafter, about what awaits us, it occurred to me that there are people who cannot believe and who ask themselves, Has anyone who has been there and come back been able to tell us what it looks like there, and so on? We don't need to go there to know. God has told us, and He had people who have already been allowed to look into the glory. And it is written of our Lord that He is the faithful and true witness, the firstborn from the dead. Then it says in Hebrews, "For we have such a great cloud of witnesses." God had people on earth who were connected to Him, who had already seen things that are still in the future. I think of Paul, of John, on the Isle of Patmos, how wonderfully these people, although on earth, were able to catch a glimpse into glory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul gives his testimony with the words, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 2, "I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities." Up to here, this precious and holy word, Paul was referring to his own experience. Men of God have had supernatural experiences from time to time to be strengthened in the faith, to be encouraged that they can move forward in the certainty of faith that the Lord is with them. John saw many things on the Isle of Patmos. In chapter 21 of Revelation, he reports from verse 2, Revelation 21 from verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them, and shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." It makes me happy every time I read here, for example, "And I saw," or Paul in his account. He saw, he experienced, he was there. Not assumptions, but very real experiences with God. We believe in this. We believe that people on earth can have experiences with God that are as real as earthly things are real here. God is real. God can be experienced even here in our midst tonight. Thinking about the fact that our beloved brother has come to us with his whole family, I was reminded of the word in 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 17, referring to the elders, that God has appointed elders everywhere in the churches, watchmen on Zion's walls, leaders in the churches who were to serve the people of God. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." We note from this scripture that elders are not only called to pray when believers are sick, when members of the church are sick, as it is written in James 5, but here we are told that they are proven in their leadership and should be worthy of double honor, especially those who labor as preachers and teachers. Elders can be preachers, they can be teachers, they can have tasks that God assigns them for the edification of the church. And then one should not muzzle him, as it is written in verse 18. For the scripture says, "Thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward." If the reward does not come on earth, then it will certainly come in glory. God will reward those who have proclaimed the word with zeal and devotion, and who have put God's cause, the kingdom of God, first in order to serve the Lord and His people. Verse 19 says, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses," and so on. We all know the Holy Scriptures quite well, and that is how it should remain. We should truly value and respect those whom God uses, thank the Lord for them. And as Brother Rus recently said, it is better to give a bouquet of flowers here and respect and value one another than to carry a huge wreath to the grave after the passing of a man of God and perhaps weep there. We should rejoice here with those whom God has appointed, so that the flock of Christ may be fed with the word of the Lord. We are grateful for all the brothers who are newly added, grateful for our beloved brothers in this place. Together we want to serve the people of God and the Lord with the gift and commission He has given us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, I want to read this deliberately because it concerns biblical teaching. 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also." It is just like that every teaching is passed on, and all who hear it should then be able, especially since they have been called to ministry, to pass on the same teaching in exactly the same way. Recently, one brother said of another, he has it in his head, but not in his heart. Beloved, let us always take care and strive to ensure that we do not merely pass on a teaching about God, about baptism, and various other things. Let us strive to ensure that it is a divine revelation that has become precious to us. No doctrinal dispute, no point of contention, but divine truths that have become precious to us, which we can pass on to others in the same spirit and with the same revelation as those that were given to the men of God in the beginning. Paul entrusted it to those who were to teach others. And so may God grant us, as ministering brethren, insight, wisdom, grace, and revelation, that we may receive the things that were given to the Apostle Paul and others by God, that we may teach what they taught, preach what they preached, baptize as they baptized, so that we may be in complete agreement with God and God's Word, and bring what is right to the people of God. Somewhere, Paul writes, I don't know exactly where it is at the moment, but he writes, you have taken my teaching as your guide. Then he uses the same word, made it your food. I'll find it in a moment. I read it today. Yes, here it is. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And it touched me deeply. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Food, the word nourished up. I looked up what our Lord said in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, John chapter 4, verse 34, Jesus says unto them, my food is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Amen. Not just earthly food. Jesus said, referring to the Old Testament word in Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And Jesus says here, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Paul writes to Timothy, as we have just read, 1 Timothy 4, verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. The words of faith are the words of God, and the words of God are sound doctrine. And then comes the emphasis behind it, which you have taken as your guide. There is a word in the letter to the Corinthians that Paul wrote. I will see if I can still find it. It should be in the letter to the Corinthians, where he also admonishes that no one should go beyond the testimony of Scripture. Who knows where that is? In this context, it would be very important for us to read that. It will probably be in 1 Corinthians. I didn't remember it exactly. Let us read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and then we will find it somewhere. We read from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, from verse 1. Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ, and stewards of the mysteries of God. What a powerful word! Not just church leaders, not just elders, not just serving the church, but stewards of the mysteries of God, servants of Christ. Let everyone, Paul writes, regard us as such. I'll read again. Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. One can only consider a person to be what he truly is. Paul was the man who could say again and again, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations has been revealed to me. How often did Paul write, I'm telling you a mystery? He wrote about the mystery of God in Christ, again and again, about mysteries, about things that were previously hidden and have now been revealed. Let a man so account of us, as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. May we, as brothers in this place, who minister with the word, be classified here with these men of God. Although we are the least, we share in the same proclamation, in the same revelation. Nothing has changed with God. The same word, the same gospel, the same doctrine, the same has remained and will remain until the Lord returns. If we walk in the footsteps of the apostles, then we have the apostles' doctrine and practice, doing what they did and preaching what they preached. In verse 2, Paul writes, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. May God also grant us grace so that we do not neglect anything He has revealed, but place it upon the lampstand, so that all may be enlightened and deeply introduced into the mysteries of God. So it is not enough to be a steward of the mysteries of God. One must be found faithful in what one has to administer. May the Lord God make us faithful in the ministry we have to perform. For the greatest task on earth is for the Church of the Living God, because it is a task for eternity. Politicians of the highest rank have temporary tasks. They come and go, but God has an eternal plan for humanity. And He is carrying out this eternal plan. He spoke through prophets and then realized it in Christ Jesus our Lord. And through apostles had the proclamation of this plan of salvation of God placed upon the lampstand, so that Paul could say with certainty, I have declared unto you the whole counsel of God. He was a faithful man. the Lord had shaped him, made him such, that he regarded what he had known before as dung, and accepted what God had given him as valuable, becoming part of it himself, and then faithfully administered it. And we are very grateful for all the letters he wrote, so that we too can share in what was given to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9, the apostle writes, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building." Just imagine if we say, brothers work together. They are fellow workers in the same cause. And here Paul writes, "For we are laborers together with God." Not co-workers of a denomination, a church, a brother, but God's co-workers, allowed to work together on God's cause, to share in what God is doing. That is the point that matters. For we are God's co-workers. What a statement. Did he aim too high? No, God needed people to do the work. The work is God's work, but he takes whoever he wants to work with him, and we are at his disposal. In verse 16, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." God has a building on earth, a living building that is added to him, the Lord, the living stone, the cornerstone. As living stones, we are incorporated into this holy building of God, made alive through the new birth of water and spirit, so that we become partakers of the divine nature and thus become part of God's own work. From verse 6 in 1 Corinthians 4, Paul writes, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." Especially the thought, "Do not go beyond what is written." I believe that all of us here today can say with deep gratitude in our hearts that the Lord has given us the grace to remain within the bounds of God's Word at all costs. Thank God we have not had itching ears and desired teachers that proclaim things that are not in accordance with Scripture. No fables were proclaimed here, but the clear and true Word of God, the sound doctrine that made us healthy. According to the Scripture, he sent his Word and healed them. Unhealthy doctrine makes one sick. Sound doctrine makes one healthy. You have taken sound doctrine as your guide. It has become your food. May this come to pass completely in us and remain so, that ye might learn in us in us. Paul always included himself. He did not judge others, not even in Galatians 1, verse 8. He did not say there that anyone else would be excluded. If anyone else, no, he always included himself. And that is actually the best mark of a true man of God. Let me read this here. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, but though we, here the brothers who were around him, not just the others, but though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you. You see, he draws the line so sharply. He wants to say, if one day we were to say something different from what we have said through revelation, then the curse will fall upon us. He was so certain of the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was given to him. As he clearly states here in Galatians 1, verse 12. With regard to the gospel, he says, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is still true today. We can teach, but revelation cannot be passed on. Revelation of the Spirit is a personal matter between you and the Lord. We can only preach God's word to establish a connection with God. Then comes the point where through the proclamation, people seek and find a connection with God and then have their personal experience. And then no one can take it away from them because it is a divine revelation. I will read the verse again. Verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sakes, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written. Thanks be to God that I personally know this word to be written in my heart, to not go beyond what is written. Who would know whether it is still true or not? But if we remain within the bounds of what is written, then we know that it is true, because it is God's word. And heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains forever. That no one of you be puffed up for one against another. The moment people go beyond the testimony of Scripture, divisions arise, and so many things arise that are not right before God. Even if such things are presented as revelation, one must simply say that God has not forgotten anything. What he wanted to say, he has said. What he wanted to reveal, he has revealed. What he wanted to teach, he has taught. For everything that belongs to the plan of salvation of our God is contained in this word of God. No one may add anything, but neither should anyone take anything away. We must also take this warning to heart, for both are written. Woe to those who add to it, just as woe to those who take away from it. May the Lord indeed grant us grace to hold fast to his word at all times and to receive what he has said what he has revealed, what he has taught, and what has been written down from our hearts as the Word of God, and to let the Spirit of God work through the Word. We believe that we have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. We believe that God has given us His Word and His Spirit, so that His Word and His Spirit may be effective in the blood-bought multitude, in the true children of God. Where the Word is not, the Spirit can do nothing. The Spirit can only work according to the Word of God, according to the promises that God has given. God spoke, and it was there. If God does not speak, nothing happens. God speaks through His Word, and His Word is Spirit and life. May we take in what we've looked at today and be thankful to the Lord that we have this privilege of hearing and proclaiming the unadulterated Word of God, that we may indeed be stewards of the manifold mysteries of God, and as such may be found faithful. God is faithful, and He can make us such faithful servants of the Word that we simply cannot do otherwise, but are indeed God's co-workers. As Paul wrote here, "For we are God's co-workers." God does the whole thing. He has only called us to this work so that we may assist Him in what He Himself is doing. For this is what our Lord said in Matthew 16, "I will build My church." He builds the church, but He takes co-workers, apostles, prophets, shepherds, teachers, and evangelists. He takes elders. He takes men, leaders, whomever He wants, to work with Him in the work that He Himself is doing. You all know that He Himself redeemed the church. He is building it. He will bring it to perfection, and He will take it home. But He called servants at all times, took them to work with Him, and even took some at the 11th hour. The Lord said in a parable, when He came to the market and saw the people standing idle, He asked, "How long will you stand idle in the market?" And then some said, "No one has hired us." And then the Lord said at the 11th hour, "Come and do the work." And they did what the Lord commanded them. When the time came to settle accounts, the others were unwilling because they had worked all day, and said, "How is it that these get as much as we do?" And the Lord said to them, "Did I not agree with you to pay you what I paid you?" He has the same wages for all, whether they worked much or little, long or short. What matters is that they heard His call, went to work, and were found faithful in what needed to be done. God demands no more. Whether one speaks to 100, another to 1,000, and another to tens of thousands, or shows them the way to the Lord, these are all God's affairs. He disposes of these things, not us. What is important is that each one is found faithful in the task that God has set him. A songwriter sings, "Keep me faithful, faithful Savior, keep me faithful. I have a race to run, many battles to fight. You give me the strength to do it. Keep me faithful." Amen. We sing a chorus and stand up for it, and then we will pray. Keep me faithful. Keep me faithful, faithful Savior. I have a race to run, many battles to fight. You give me the strength to do it. Keep me faithful. Keep me faithful. I have a race to run, many battles to fight. You give strength that can do it. Keep me faithful. Let us pray. Faithful God, we thank you again together for your precious and holy word, which you have addressed to us again this evening. Lord, we ask you to be gracious to us all, to those who minister with the word, and also those who listen, Lord. Grant us grace, O God. Grant us all the joy, Lord, to serve you as long as we have breath in us, Lord. For we know the night is coming when no one can work. But as long as it is day, Lord, we want to stand for your cause, Lord, and praise and glorify your name. We know you will care for your people, Lord, for your own church, Lord. Worship and honor and thanks be to you for this, Lord. We look up to you, Lord. We will not be shaken, Lord, by anything that may come, Lord. But we know one thing. You will make all things well, Lord. For this we praise and glorify your wonderful name. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts that you have helped us until now. Worship and honor, thanks and praise be to you. In Jesus' name, amen.